What is it that we can bring as young people?
Our life.
Our life.
The life of His Son.
Expound a little.
Well, if you look at the word present, that's the same word oblation that's used in Leviticus chapter 2. And we know that in Leviticus chapter 2. I'll just read the first verse. And when anyone will present an oblation to Jehovah, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it and put frankincense thereof. So this offering, the oblation offering, speaks of giving to God pleasure, you know, bringing pleasure to God. And really, we know the way to do that is to worship and show praise to His Son and the work of His Son. You know, we gather on Sunday morning for the fellowship meeting. That's what we're doing. We're not only having fellowship with one another, but we are singing about the Lord Jesus. We're singing about His death, His resurrection, His beauty, His love, all of these things. That's what the Father wants. The Father wants us to show us that, to show Him that we love His Son, that we understand what His Son did, that we understand what the Lord had to go through, you know. So I would say that's what it means.
I think we had mentioned earlier that the wheat speaks of Christ. Gideon was threshing wheat by the wine press. And where we appointed to wheat, it speaks of the Lord Jesus. And Kevin took us back to Leviticus chapter 2 that brings out the meal offering, the life of the Lord Jesus, here as a perfect man that lived before God, who was obedient in everything that he did. He didn't have a thought that was inconsistent with what God expected. There wasn't a step that was out of place. And so Gideon, it says he went in. And you know, young people, we have to turn in and turn away from the things of the world. And it's when we turn in that we're able to present the things of Christ. We speak about going into the Word of God and digging things out of it. Okay, and Gideon was a man who threshed wheat. It was work. And anything that we are going to obtain of the Lord Jesus in our own hearts is going to come from utilizing spiritual energy to learn about Him. And then God wants us, I think of, was it with Joseph, to tell my father of all of my glory in Egypt. And so it's presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as a gift, because He gave to us His unspeakable gift.
And nothing of ourselves, yes. Because in Leviticus there's no leaven. There's no leaven, there's always salt, which means that there's always something rich about the Lord Jesus. And also in that same chapter it mentions the first fruits. Mm. So it's not a matter of coming every week with the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the fellowship meeting, it's any meeting. Any time you're together. Even if you're not in fellowship and you're not speaking it. And of course it applies to the ladies as well. There has to be something new that you're gleaning during the week. It's first fruits, it's not the old fruits, it's not the same fruit that you had last week. It's the new things that you've gleaned during the week from the Word, from the time spent in the closet on your knees with the Lord Jesus. That's what the Father wants.
I was thinking of the parable of the sower in Luke 8, where He takes His disciples aside and He expounds to them what He meant by the parable, which is for them to know. And just want to read the end of verse 14 when He tells them about the wheat or the seed that fell on among thorns, that it brought no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So I think that this present is Him bringing forth fruit as a result of having been in the wine press and threshing the wheat. So the Lord is looking for a response out of the evidence that we've been in His presence. And having been with our word open, he's expecting a response, and I think that's what Gideon does here.
There's a New Testament verse that we hear a lot, but it's probably appropriate to read it. Hebrews 13:15. Mm. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. What is it? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. The sacrifice of praise, that's really what this is here in Gideon's case.
And I think too, John, that it's not without significance that it's again under the oak. That it is in reference to the cross of the Lord Jesus. I was thinking of earlier in the reading today, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. What does the cross tell me about man? His history is ended. It's done. That God is no longer expecting anything from a child of Adam. There is nothing for him but judgment. But the other side of that cross is the wondrous work that our brother has set before us, that the Lord Jesus has done. That it thrills God's heart to hear us, his children, speaking to him of the glory of what that cross means to us and of what we're able to enter into. And as you said, well, sometimes it's in the worship meeting, but it's not limited to the worship meeting, is it? That I think his ears are always open, that we glory in that one who's met our greatest need.
And all of that was done in the wine press. There was nothing outside. Nobody have seen what was going on in there. Look at the progress that's going on. First thing he gained, he threshed wheat to feed himself. Then when the angel of the Lord talked to him, he's still offering something back to God. Nothing about going out and tell people anything, nothing on display, nothing public at all. It's all private. It is a heart that is enriched with Christ, filled with Christ, giving back again Christ. You take in Christ and you give out Christ. That's what it is. There is nothing of self, as we have heard. A goat, an offering, a blood was shed, a meal offering. He brought unleavened bread. Everything speaks of Christ. So you eat Christ, you give God Christ. You are satisfied, God is satisfied, and then you could go out and serve.
So it would seem as though anything that has to do with recovery then has to begin with the sacrifice. And that's the point that we each have to begin with, the death of Christ and the evaluation of it in our souls that will bring us back to the point of true recovery.
And where did Gideon know that? I mean, this man knows the word of God. He knows the book of Leviticus. Mm-hmm. He knew what he has to do. Also, at that time, I don't think he knew that the person that spoke to him was the angel of the Lord. He sure thought there was a man of God and he was just making a meal for him. But he learned that from reading the word of God. It is reading the word of God. It is reading the word of God. It is reading the word of God.
And I understand that this point of the sacrifice is the first time in Judges that you come to this particular position where a sacrifice is being offered. All before, there was absolutely nothing for God, until there is a man like Gideon who has something now for God.
It's the first altar that you have in the book of Judges.
And I think it's not without significance again that he doesn't do just as he thinks he should. He's given instruction. If there is to be something for God, it will be divine instruction that will set forth the whole pattern. And so the angel of the Lord, Gideon, went. He made ready a kid and the unleavened cakes and a flour. He brought it out under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him. And then he gives him the instructions as to what he is to do. Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. Mark those four words. And he did so. That's when blessing will be coming into our lives. As we have heard the Lord, he's given us instruction. And the Lord will say of that brother and that sister, and they did so. Oh, he delights in that, doesn't he?